The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 12th chapter. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware the scribes who like to walk around in long robes, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated.
Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This past Friday, I had the pleasure and the honor of going to Battleford Central School to be part of their Remembrance Day ceremonies. There's the laying of the wreath. There's the iconic poem in Flanders Fields. There's a presentation by the local Legion. There's community people who are involved. And there's remembrance of times of war that have gone past. Namely, the First and Second World War, part of our earliest 20th century here in the world and here in Canada, where many young men and women gave their lives in battle, working for freedom, working towards peace, working towards justice, working to put an end towards tyranny and aggression. I'm 36 years old. I have not known a life filled with war. I have had the blessing of living in a stable democracy of Canada. I have had the blessing of access to education, to health care, to freedom. The blessings of a loving family, the blessings of a nurtured home, the blessings of food on a table, the blessings of not listening to air raid sirens, the blessings of not being taken and put in an internment camp, the blessings of not being put into conscription, the blessings of not being handed a rifle and pointed a direction. My generation, living here in the stability of North America, has not known the horror, the tyranny, the death of war. The same is equally true for my daughter's generation. In fact, they live in this bold new world. The world of the internet and cellular phones. The world of microwaves. The world of satellite TV. The world of healthcare advancements. Of education advancements. A continually perpetuating world where things seem to get better and better and better. We learn more about ourselves. We learn more about ourselves every day. We learn more about the world and geography and geology and the stars, the moons, the planets, our place in the solar system. I was going to say astrology, but that's just ridiculous. I meant to say astronomy. That's a different sermon. And as I listened to the young students, as they made their presentations at Remembrance Day, they had a very positive outlook towards the future. They sang songs and read poems and made speeches about war never happening again, about there being no more death, about there being no more violence, about there being no more concentration camps, about there being no more discord, about there being no more nations warring against nations. I'm not sure if I share their optimism. while our world has gotten smaller, while our lives know more and more convenience, more and more luxury, I'm not sure if our internal makeup has changed. If the things that bring us to war, a desire for power, a desire for profit, a desire for prestige, a desire for aggression, I think those things are still in us, are still part of the human makeup. But we have the benefit of living in our secure democracy. There are those throughout the world today who do not know that security. People in Egypt, Northern Africa, Syria, parts of Eastern Europe, Central America, experience martial law, experience war, experience discord, experience warring factions, death and blood on the streets. Have we changed that much? Our trinkets have changed. Our homes have changed. Our desires might have changed. But if we as human beings changed that much since the time that Cain lifted the stone against Abel? Maybe not. If we focus on the outward reality of life, things seem pretty good. We have well-stocked grocery stores. We have hospitals and doctors and nurses in our communities. We have schools for our children. We have police force and law and a constitution, a declaration of rights, and all sorts of things that give us stability, that give us prosperity, that give us peace. But how tenuous are these things? How separated from the food supply are we? How reliant on our pharmacies have we become? On our police, on our sewer system, on our natural gas, on the furnace in our basement, on the roofs over our head. At the core of it, we are still fragile human beings. We are still given to sinfulness. We are still given to a desire to have what our neighbor has. We are still given to violence. We are still given to force. And at times we can be given to anarchy. We can be given to social collapse. We can be given to winner take all. We can quickly lose the desire to see our community succeed and move into a desire to see us, the individual, succeed. And when that happens, nations collapse. Governments fall. Law is no more. Property is taken and lives are lost. Say in our gospel reading, we find Christ sitting in the temple, and he's sitting across in the temple treasury. It's a big, huge kind of golden box that's guarded by armed guards, and people come and they put their offering in the temple treasury. When rich people come, they send heralds in front of them to blow horns and make announcements of their arrival. And they make a showy spectacle of how much gold or silver or Roman money they are placing in the treasury. So everybody knows their status and their importance and their wealth and their gift to God or the temple. And as Christ is watching this pomp and circumstance, the widow appears. And she puts in her simple coin. And it is the widow that Christ holds up for accolades. Not the Pharisees who pray loud on the street corners. Not the wealthy who gives a large contribution. But the small widow who we are told gives all that she has. A few pennies worth into the treasury. And why is that? Because she is committed. She has offered all that she has to God. She has not held anything back. We can become very invested in our outward lives. We feel we can control our outward lives. Because if we can control our outward lives, we can control how people see us. We can wear certain clothes. We can live in a certain part of town. We can drive certain cars. We can go on certain vacations. We can read certain books. We can eat in certain restaurants. All to propagate a vision of ourselves to the world. How we want to be perceived. How we want others to think of us. It's important to us what others think of us. And we think that we can game the system by buying products and doing things that alters their view of us. But God's much more interested in the invisible, in the inward reality of our lives. The things that we cannot put on display, the things that we cannot show off to other people, the things that we cannot use to separate us from other economic classes. Our prayer life, our life of service, our life of stewardship, our life of evangelism, our life of patience, our life of faith, all of these internal qualities cannot be used to separate us from our neighbor. We cannot measure them. A house can be measured by square footage. A car can be measured by its model year or price tag. A vacation can be measured by its distance or warmth in January. A restaurant can be measured by its bill. But what about the internal qualities of our life? How do we measure our love against someone else's love? How do we measure our faith against someone else's faith? How do we measure our sense of peace against someone else's sense of peace? We can't. So we don't focus on these things. Because there's no yardstick for us to use to somehow put us above others. And so we're left focusing on the external. We create a world around us. A tenuous world. A world that can very easily be taken away from us. How secure are you in your possessions? What stops someone from taking your house? What stops someone from stealing your car? The rule of law? That can break down. How about the bank account that you so richly prize? What does that paper money really represent? In and of itself, it has no value. It's just paper with ink on it. Inflation can steal its wealth. A collapse of government can steal its wealth. Ask the people in Germany after the First World War who used their Deutschmark for insulation because it became worthless. All these things that we put so much energy and effort into can very easily erode and be taken away from us. The things that take all of our time and our energy and our thoughts and our resources, we don't really possess. We only own them till we lose them, till they break, or until someone else takes them away. But the internal is ours to keep. No one can take away your faith. No one can take away the peace of the Holy Spirit. Nobody can take away the knowledge of the gospel. Nobody can take away your sense of divine love. Nobody can take away your sense of divine purpose. Those things are not given to inflation or rust or war or earthquake or hurricane or you name it. These are the things you truly possess. This is truly your treasure in heaven. This is truly your good news. But again, we live in a world of the external. We live in the world of the visible. And I fear for this world. Because this is a world that's built on consumption. And I'm not sure if that is sustainable. Because if we are always consuming, then we are always looking for more. And if we're always looking, I don't think that we can ever find peace. If we are always looking, I don't know if we can ever find happiness. If we are always looking, I don't know if we have time for other people. We're constantly being sold, told to buy and to purchase and to maintain and to move on to version 2.0. But in the process, we lose our way in God's Word. Because God's Word says, I am sufficient. God's Word in Christ says, it is accomplished. God's Word in Jesus says, the kingdom is here. The kingdom is yours. It's already been done. It's already available. It's already perfected. And when we seize on to that, I believe we find peace. And I believe we find happiness. And I know in my own life, when I find myself constantly chasing the new thing, the better thing, the visible thing, the purchasing thing, I'm not really happy. I'm not really at peace. And I'm not really in tune to my neighbor because I'm focused inward on what I want and how I can attain it and how I can have it and how I can enjoy it. But I get that thing. I buy that new shiny ornament. I swipe my credit card and go into debt to have that new product. And I can only speak for myself here and not you. But once I've attained it, I find myself looking for the next thing to buy, the next thing to have, the next thing to enjoy. And so I buy that thing. But then I look for the next thing, and the next thing, and the world is there to sell me more and more things. But when I stop, and I look inwards, and I look at the blessing of Christ in my life, I look at the blessing of my family in my life, I look at the blessing of you in my life. Then I experience a happiness that no thing has ever given me. That no thing has ever provided. And when I think of these inward blessings, my family and my faith and my relationship with you, this church, I find myself not wanting more. I don't find myself saying, I want a new family, a better family. I won't describe what that would be. I don't find myself saying, hey, I want a new church, a better church. I don't find myself saying, hey, I want a new faith, a better faith. Because they're sufficient and they're perfected. But whenever I buy things, I always find myself looking for a new thing and a better thing and a more fun thing. This is how the external is different from the internal. This is what I find in Christ. I come to this Remembrance Day, and people are remembering the sacrifices of men and women who have gone before us, those who have died in faraway places, those who have worked to fight aggression, those who died far too young. And I am cognizant of that. And I am thankful for their sacrifice. But I am also reminded to remember how tenuous my relationship with the external world is. My house can quickly be taken from me. My car can quickly be stolen. My bank account can quickly hit zero. Our grocery stores can quickly be empty. The safety I enjoy can quickly be threatened. All of these things can be taken from me. And if they can be taken from me easily, if they can be taken from me at gunpoint, or bomber, or nuclear attack, or rapid inflation, or fire, or flood, or tsunami, then they are not permanent. But my faith, the Holy Spirit, my love, my relationship with my family, my knowledge of Christian community cannot be taken from me. They cannot be taken from me at gunpoint. They cannot be taken from me by inflation. They cannot be taken from me by storm. If this building burns tonight, we are still God's people. If my house collapses, I still have the gift of faith. If our society crumbles, I still have a knowledge of heaven. And that tells me I need to hold on to these things. I need to give thanks for these things. And I need to see these things as precious, as important, as eternal, and as God-given. That's good news for me. I think it's good news for you. Because it takes you off the treadmill of life, always chasing new things. For whatever fleeting happiness and joy they provide, it is not eternal, it is not of the Lord, and it will soon end. Cars rust, houses crumble, clothes get out of style, vacations become distant memories, you name it. Only the internal is non-perishable. The things of God, the gifts of family, a knowledge of the gospel, a love and a peace that passes all understanding, these are yours. They've been bought and paid for already. They have been perfected by Christ, and they are made being whole in you. Honor them, enjoy them, and live in them. Remember them. Because when push comes to shove, and I pray it doesn't, but we're naive to think that it never will, in the end, they cannot be taken from you. Amen.